We're starting a sermon series today, and throughout this series, we're going to start off with just reading the passage again, and then we're going to dive into the text. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Rick Warren shares a story about his friend, Ron Dunn, who once took his young son to a carnival for his birthday. Ron's son had picked up six boys to go with him, so Ron bought a big roll of tickets. And every line he'd come to, Ron would pull out seven tickets and give them to all the kids. But when they got to the Ferris wheel, all of a sudden there was an eighth little kid staring up at him with his hand out. Perplexed, Ron said, "And who are you?" Well, the kid replied, "I'm Johnny." "Who are you, Johnny?" To which Johnny answered, "I'm your son's new friend, and he said you would give me a ticket." Ron asked Rick, "Do you think I gave him one?" "Absolutely." "Why?" "Because the little kid had come to the Father through the Son." This morning we are starting a sermon series on the Epistle of 1 John. And we're going to begin it in somewhat of a postmodern way. We're going to start near the end in chapter 5 before going all the way back to the beginning in chapter 1 next week. Now we are diving into this short letter during the Easter season because in John's simple and beautiful words, we are reminded of the importance and the connection between theology and behavior. Or in other words, between right belief and right living. And throughout his letter, John, the beloved disciple who reclined on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper, and who was there at the cross of Christ, refers to a new kind of family, and this family is the family of God. And life in this family is depicted along two perspectives. We have the vertical perspective regarding our fellowship with God, and we have the horizontal perspective regarding our fellowship within the body of Christ, with other sons and daughters of the Father. But these two perspectives, the vertical and the horizontal, intersect, forming a cross. For it is Jesus Christ who gives us access to the Father. And it is Jesus, the head of the church, whom we are connected to as the body of Christ. And as his body, we are living members knit together by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you can fathom why we are investigating, why we are diving into this book, all about the new family during a season where we celebrate new and unending life in Jesus Christ for 50 days. A lot of people have moved on already. Easter's done and over with. Not so with us. Amen?
Amen?
This new family, the church, lives in a world still occupied by the enemy. This new family is a sign of faith, a foretaste of hope, and an instrument of love in the world, testifying that God's new creation is continually breaking in, bringing transformation and vitality to a desperate world, to a dying world that is being made new by God. For we as this family have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who makes all things new. And in this new family, we are to love the Father and his offspring. The Father and his offspring. Therefore, this morning, let us press into the wisdom of God that as children of the Father, we are also to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that we now have the power the power to love both God and our brothers and sisters by the indwelling Holy Spirit. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, found on page 745. And I would encourage everyone to open up their Bibles. Now, at this time of the New Testament, at the time of this writing, just as in our time today, there were false teachers in the church. A whole lot of false teaching going around. Biblical scholar John Stott comments, "To tamper with the gospel is to trouble the church." Well, no kidding. Indeed, the church's greatest troublemakers now, as then, are not those outside who oppose, who ridicule, who persecute it, but those inside who try to change the gospel. Conversely, the only way to be a good churchman is to be a good gospel man. Are you trekking with me? In our own time, we have the false teaching of the prosperity gospel that has gone out to the world. God wants to bless you with all kinds of material things. This has gone out everywhere. We have those denying the existence of hell. We have those denying that God has put boundaries and perimeters on sex. We have those denying that Jesus rose from the dead. Newsflash, he did. We even have those who want to dissect Jesus into two persons, the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith. You see, the early church had to deal with false teaching too. In fact, the church has always had to be on guard against false teachers. It was no different at the time of John when he penned this letter. There were those who were denying that Jesus Christ actually came in the flesh, God incarnate. They denied Jesus' humanity, that Jesus was the Messiah, come to save us from sin, death, and the devil. And so John seeks to correct this heretical teaching. And today we begin, as St. Augustine so rightly put it, contemplating a faith that worketh love. A faith that worketh love. John just ended chapter 4 saying this: if someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So some were saying that they loved God on the vertical, but they did not love their brothers and sisters on the horizontal. Are you guys awake this morning? And John is saying that this is not right belief, nor is it right living. For if you claim to love God, you must love the church. If you claim to love God, you must love the church. Yet many people in our day who identify themselves as the Dones, D-O-N-E-S, because they are done with church, still claim they love God. But they've bailed on their brothers and sisters. What would John say to these folks? He'd say, let's take a look at your faith. Let's take a good, hard look at it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah, has become a child of God. So belief as entrance into the family is essential, but what kind of faith does this entail? Are we merely talking about the narrow reckoning that Jesus was an actual person who walked on earth 2,000 years ago? Most certainly not. The faith we are talking about is quite more than that. Belief in Christ Jesus entails a faith of receiving him. It is a faith that trusts and leads to real and lasting commitment and an eternal life-giving union with him. Believing that Jesus exists is not simply enough. Even the demons believe and tremble. When he's talking about faith here, he's talking about what he wrote in John 1, verses 11 through 13 in his gospel. You may remember it. When he wrote, Jesus came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. This birth that comes from God requires the presence of the Holy Spirit within to confess what is true, what is right, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to honor the Son is to honor the Father. To honor the Son is to honor the Father. But John adds something else about God's family in our letter this morning. He writes, "Everyone who loves the Father loves his children too." Everyone who loves the Father loves his sons and his daughters. You see, God has joined the vertical with the horizontal. He's joined them. He's connected them. For John states, "We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments." A lot of folks bail on the children of God because they never seem to find a perfect church. Here's the news. It doesn't exist. You will never find a perfect church. You will never find a perfect pastor. So people go church shopping from one congregation to the next until they just give up altogether. And they claim they love God. It's just his people they're not really sure about. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe you've even lived it. John says nope. He says nope. Say that word with me. Nope. John also adds and connects love here with obedience to the commandments. And we know from Jesus that he summed up the law of God to the commandments of love. Love God and love your neighbor. So we're going to do a little song here this morning. What is the summary of the law? Love, love, love. What is the summary of the law? Love, love, love. Whom do we love, God? Whom do we love, people? Whom do we love, God? Whom do we love, people? Everyone together now. What is the summary of the law? Love, love, love. What is the summary of the law? Love, love, love. Whom do we love, God? Whom do we love, people? Whom do we love, God? Whom do we love, people? All right, good job. Give yourself a round of applause there. That's fantastic. You guys are soon to be signed to a record contract. Believe me, I know it. Loving God means loving and keeping his commandments. Did you know that? Jesus summed up the law to love God and to love people, but he also gave a new commandment to his community, something we looked at just last week. In John's gospel, Jesus says this, "So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other." Amen. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love each other. Jesus said these words in the upper room after he had washed the feet of the disciples, including Judas, the one who would betray him, including Peter, the one who would deny him several times. And John, the beloved disciple, was there at this dinner. So you can see why, as an old man, John writes to the believers, reminding them not just they are to love God and their neighbor out in the world, but also that they are to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as offspring of the Father. This love is a love that looks like Jesus. This love is a love that looks like Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served. A love that washed feet. A love that laid its very life down for others. A love that embraced the hardwood of the cross. This is how we are to love. Sacrificially, we are to humble ourselves and take on the position of a servant, of a slave. For it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Amen. And by this love, the world will know that we are his. Now, at this point, some of you may be thinking, this sounds very, very hard to do. This sounds ridiculously hard. I mean, you're not an easy person to love, Scott. You've got all kinds of weird quirks and stuff. Believe me, I know. I know. You do too, by the way. But my friends, God's commandments of love are not burdensome. They are not so heavy that we fall underneath their weight, nor do they exist to spoil our fun and enjoyment and pleasure. For in our new life in Christ, we have been given great power. Great power. That power comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit who now indwells us. It is He working in us, both you and me, constantly, day after day after day, who equips us to love both God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. He builds us up to have a faith that worketh love. A faith that worketh love. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we find such pleasure and such joy in doing the will of God. This faith that worketh love is how we have victory over the world. For John writes, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." Last week, a couple of us went and saw Paul, Apostle of Christ. And the movie takes place in the last days of Paul, when Christians in Rome are being persecuted by the emperor Nero. "Love is the only way" was repeated throughout the film. Love is the only way. And the true Christians in the Roman community had victory over the world by a faith that worketh love. Love for God and love for their brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. To reject Jesus is to reject the Father who sent him. To reject Jesus is to reject the offspring of the Father. True faith is a faith that worketh love, a love for the Father and his offspring. And Jesus is the intersection for where the vertical and the horizontal meet. So where does that leave us today? We have just recently entered the Easter season, the great 50 days, and it's good for us to take a real assessment at how we love each other within this local body, within this fellowship. Because this love bears witness to those in the world who do not know the Lord Jesus or the Father who sent him. We've got to take our faith seriously. Is it a faith that worketh love? Is it a true faith that loves the Father and his offspring? Jesus said that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. So there's clearly a missional application to our love for each other. There clearly is. Do you think that the world sees that in us? Are any of us suffering hardships? Then we should pray and supply generously and sacrificially. Are any of us sick? Then they should be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. Is anyone hungry or in need of clothing or a place to live? Has not the Lord provided for us so that we can share out of our abundance? Has not the Lord provided for us so that we can share out of however little we have? Whether we have much or whether we have little, we sacrificially give. Amen? Of course, to love and to be loved in this regard requires a commitment to community life. And that's a tough thing for our culture. A commitment to community life. A lot of people attend churches, but they are not living in Christian community. I was in a church of 25,000 people for 8 years, and I didn't know anyone. But the church is a family, according to the Apostle John. The church is a family. Indeed, it's God's family on mission. And the scriptures challenge us, my brothers and sisters. If you say that you love God, you must love the church, even with all its imperfections, even with all its blemishes. If you say that you love the Father, you must love his offspring as well. And as we go deeper into the Easter season, I want to encourage and challenge us all to fathom the vertical and the horizontal in our daily lives. I want each of us to do some self-assessment on how we are loving God and how we are loving our brothers and our sisters within this church family. Because our faith in Jesus as the Son of God is a faith that worketh love for the Father and his offspring. And we are meant to continue to grow in this love, on the vertical and on the horizontal. And we remember that we love because he first loved us. And he gave us everything. He gave us Jesus. Our fellowship with the Father and with each other comes at the intersection of the vertical and the horizontal. And that point is the cross of Jesus Christ. For everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, has become a child of the Father and has entered into the family of God. And our life in this family is characterized by a faith that worketh love. Do you have a faith that worketh love for the Father and for his offspring? Let us pray. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth. Through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.